As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to dirtylabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, thanks for stopping by. We'll be taking a good gardening stroll shortly, but give us a call at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments. Mr. Kelly, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. We had Sue's daughters over, and one of them has a boyfriend, and he came along, and then another one had a friend come over, and so we had a great time and great food. We got our turkey from Max Local Eat, so it was right off the farm, and you could really tell the difference. It was excellent. Sue did a great job cooking it. So, yeah, it was a very nice Thanksgiving. How about you?
Perfect. Yeah, it was just Tracy and I, so mm-hmm. we got overly stuffed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like, oh, come on. It's like, I don't know if I can squeeze that piece of pie in at the end, but I did.
The pie was so good. We had a pecan pie that was just unbelievably good. And I don't usually eat pies because I try to stay away from the sugary stuff.
Right.
But, you know, it was kind of interesting because early on when I started looking at something, I said something about the salt content or something. And one of Sue's daughters says, wait a second. It's Thanksgiving. We're not talking about that stuff. I said, okay, well, let's go. And so we just ate anything I wanted, and I kind of paid for it. But it was really, really good.
Yeah. We had a rhubarb pie that we got from Eckert's.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it's, like, unbelievably nothing with it except straight rhubarb. And, Oh, the taste was just unbelievable.
So good.
Yes.
So good. All right, now we're heading into the sweet season, so.
Exactly.
Bring the cookies, bring all that stuff on, we'll take it.
Thanks, Brian.
You bet.
It is Saturday morning, I think, and we're going to have a discussion about what's impacting your landscape or your house plants. And anything going on in the outdoors that's a concern for you? How about bugs and diseases? They're still around. It's really kind of amazing. And the information I'll share with you is based upon just multiple years and talking to other people and learning a lot from people that were very, very smart. So, and then I just kind of pass it on to you, and hopefully it will help make you decide which direction you want to go, because there are a lot of different directions towards success. And by the way, this is your show, and I appreciate you inviting me into your home or car. Remember, if you weren't there, I would not be here. Another very important player, as I always say, is Alex. He's producing, so he answers a phone, pushes all the buttons and everything else. When you call, he just needs to know your name. And I'm Mike Miller, by the way, and that is my name. And, well, it's Michael, not Mike, but I like shortened. But anyway, I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And I can come to your home and do landscape consultations if you like, or if you'd like to give a gift certificate to somebody for a landscape consultation, which I call a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there's my email address and phone number where I can be reached. Well, let's get moving. Today's stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. I woke up a little bit early, so I headed out and a little early after breakfast and everything else. And it was, the sky was just starting to brighten up. And by the time I got downtown, which I don't live that far from downtown, the sun was really rising and it was really adding some spice to the morning sky, with the clouds really adding a nice visual flavor. And as I headed north on 55 and exited at Walnut, I wanted to go to the Winterfest, in the Winterfest land. And boy, rainbow of colors on this huge tree, which is the Salvation Army tree, Tree of Lights. And doing the most good is the Salvation Army tree lights. And I don't know how many lights are on that tree, but it is unbelievable. And I was surprised at everything around Keener Plaza and the whole park area down there. A lot of the plants have not gone totally dormant yet. They haven't lost their leaves. And there was quite a few perennials that still, I mean, they're not flowering or anything, but the foliage is still above the ground, where it's just, it caught me kind of by surprise, so it was really kind of neat. And the Tree of Lights nearby is a statue of Frankie Muse Freeman, and she's heading towards the courts. And here in the Keener Plaza, really unique benches kind of wind around because of the way the plaza is put together and everything else. There's a whole bunch of miniature climatrons offering seating. I'm assuming that's when you get something to eat at the Cafe St. Louis by Pure, and you can go in there and sit and just kind of absolutely enjoy the whole thing. The Running Man looks like he's headed for the ice rink, and there's lights galore even early morning. But I'll bet at night, when there's a lot more lights, that is absolutely spectacular. So it's just kind of amazing. As I was, there's no parking along Market and everything else. So if you're headed in that direction, just realize parking may be a little bit limited. So whether you're going down there just to see or whatever. But as I parked illegally, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. But over on the Bald Cypress, which is on the north side of Keener Plaza, the liriope looked like it wasn't even going towards dormancy whatsoever. There was robins and other birds all over the place. The sun was really starting to fill the sky, and it really made a great winter fest. Now, the winter fest, I don't know historically how, you know, what it was as far as time and everything else, but this year it's only open as far as the skating rink and everything else, from 4 to 8 on Fridays, and on weekends from 12 to 8. But there are special events and special hours which are listed on calendars on big sort of plaques there. But again, I'm going to remind, no parking along Market or Chestnut either. So just be careful if you go down there. Just realize that you may have to walk. And if it's cool in between the buildings because of the wind and stuff, just be prepared for that. But I guess since it's Winterfest, you're going to be prepared for it anyway. So anyway, that's me. That's the Garden Hotline. Go, good gardening stroll. If you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's start off the morning by going over to Bob's yard. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good morning, Mike. Hey, I sure do enjoy my show. I hope everybody else enjoys my show.
Great.
Anyway, hey, I live in Imperial and have this summer and last summer have problems with moles in my yard. And I know you've been asked this question many times. You know, what do I do or how do I get rid of my moles? That really is the question. But I also have a friend of mine told me that I have bugs in my yard that these moles feed on. And that's why I have the problem. My neighbor to the left and to the right of me and in front, I don't see any of those piles of dirt in front of their, you know, houses. So they don't, and it's, by the way, it's the side of my house as well, and really all around my house. So do I have bugs in my yard that they don't have, or is that what moles go after, is are bugs, and how do I treat the bugs?
Well, basically, the main diet for moles is earthworms. So your yard probably is pretty nice organically and everything else. So you have a lot of earthworms or the moles wouldn't stay around. So that's basic, really. They do eat grubs, but they only eat grubs like as an appetizer as they're heading towards the sound that earthworms make as they tunnel through the ground. So that's where their tunnel's going, is they hear it, and then they go towards that, and then that's what they eat for their main diet. Like 70% of the food that they get or consume is going to be earthworms. So the neighbors that you have, their yard is not as good or doesn't have earthworms, or else they would be migrating into those areas.
Do I get rid of earthworms so that I get rid of the moles?
It's hard to get rid of earthworms. And those big piles of dirt is, you know, they have a two-tunnel system. The one that's at the surface, that's the one where earthworms mainly are, is up near the surface. And the one that they dig below, that's the one that takes them quicker, like a highway more or less, back to their nesting den where they go back to sleep.
All right. So what about that? Then I guess you can't get rid of earthworms.
Right.
So,
and getting rid of the, you know, getting rid of the insects is not really going to make that much difference, because that's, I mean, like I said, it's just an appetizer they may come across and eat on the way, but they're still heading towards their real diet.
Okay, Mike. Well, here's the last question. How do I get rid of the moles then? Is it that chemical called Tamoxifen, or however you say it?
You can try that, but the most successful is the trap situation. So, okay. You know, I mean, you gotta get a couple traps. You have to kind of watch where they're, you know, the tunnels are popping up most aggressively recently, and then set the traps. And if you don't get something in a day or two, then you have to move them to a different location. But you can try some of the other things. People will call in and say, well, I've used mothballs. I've done this. I've done that. And the one that's all the, let's say, pest control people, it's mainly traps they use. If you have pets or kids or anything else, you set a trap, just put an upside-down bucket over the top of it to keep anybody from, you know, getting, let's say, stung by it.
Okay, well, what if I have, like, 20 moles or 20 piles of dirt in my yard, which I do? Do I put 20 traps up?
No, you don't need that many. Just a few, because, the moles are, you really probably don't have that many because they're really not friendly towards other moles, so you're only going to have X amount in your yard. And the way that you might have a lot at one particular time is because a female has had a, you know, given birth, and then consequently a lot of them will hang around while they're sort of learning how to do this whole thing, and then finally they migrate away.
Well, I hope that's sooner rather than later, but okay, I guess it's the traps.
Right. There's two different types, Victor Spear and Choker Loop Trap, and you might just go online and check them out. And but like I say, the professionals, that's what they use.
All right, that's what I got to do. Great. Thanks, Mike.
Enjoy.
I will, you too.
Okay, yes. And I wanted to add, you know, remind everybody, or I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. It was pretty mellow for us, and that was real nice. So we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. With any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments. December's calendar, we're not quite to December yet, but there is one thing, the information I get from this calendar is sometimes, or a lot of it, I put together myself, but also the University of Missouri Extension Service sends out a newsletter, more or less. And it used to be monthly, and now it's just kind of periodically. With a monthly calendar, it is, you know, once a month. But one thing I kind of disagree with them, they said this is a good time of year for filling and grading around the yard. And so but they didn't mention the fact that you can't just come in and fill low spots by piling stuff in that low spot. You have to mix it in with the existing soil. So you make so they'll stick together. But if you just lay stuff in low spots and things like that, and you don't blend it with the existing soil, then that's going to migrate away from that spot. So that was one of the things that kind of caught me by surprise. And this is a good time of year to do that, too. So if you want to get out there and work it out, then you can do that. So let's head over to Bob's. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, listen, I'm a longtime caller, or longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm calling about moles regarding your previous caller. I, too, have had problems for years and have tried every product under the sun. None of them work except for traps, just like you said. I use the Tomcat trap.
Ah.
I get it from Home Depot. And you're right. The gentleman had a whole bunch of mounds and tunnels. It's probably just one or two moles. But right. The key is you got to go in and tamp them all down. And you got to look every day. Tamp them all down. And when you see a new track, a new tunnel, then you set your trap on that tunnel. You'll have a very good success rate. Over the last 2 years, I have killed 27 moles in my yard.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, so that's definitely the way to go. You're giving the right advice. I just wanted to support what you were saying. Don't waste your money on chemicals. Earthworms are good for your lawn.
Right.
Don't hurt bugs. Don't hurt earthworms. Just, if you want to, just go kill the moles.
Right. Sounds great. Well, thanks for your input.
Absolutely. I appreciate your show.
Sure. I appreciate you, your show, having me on your show. Now let's head over to Dave's yard. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Dave from Grand City. We have small city lots here, and we have no trees on my lot. Never have, and I'd like to put something out front. I saw this blue hysteria. Good, bad, or stay away, what?
Blue wisteria?
Yes.
So that's a vine, actually.
Well, there was a blue hysteria tree I've seen.
Yeah, they prune the vine to look like a tree, but it's still really just the vine.
Okay, so it's not going to grow up on its own like a small Chinese or Japanese maple or something like that.
No, it's not. So it's going to elongate, and you can keep it pruned, you know, and keep it dense, but when you do that, then you're going to miss the opportunity of seeing the flowers, which that's basically what you're growing it for, is a big cluster of bluish flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I guess that ain't. Any other suggestions for us? I like the front yard is, let's say, 25 feet by 25 feet. What would be a nice ornamental tree for something like that?
Probably what I would look at is there's a tree called serviceberry. And
okay.
It's native to this region. What it is, you want to make sure you get the tree form, so I won't bother, you know, telling you what it is, but just look at the tree serviceberry. It has white flowers in the springtime before the dogwood. Then it has small fruits after that. And then the foliage in the fall turns bright red. And it's probably maximum height is going to be about 15 feet, maybe 20 feet at the most, with a spread of somewhat like that. Friendly root system, so you can grow pretty much lawn up pretty close to the trunk, not all the way up to the trunk. But that's probably what I'd recommend.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
Yep. And, you know, the botanical name of that is Amelanchier arborea. You just want to make sure you get the arborea, A-R-B-O-R-E-A. And that means tree, because there is an Amelanchier that's a shrub form, and that's canadensis. You don't want the canadensis one. You want the one that has a single trunk.
Okay. Sounds like a winner. Thank you, sir.
Great. Yes. Enjoy. Yeah, the service berries, I didn't know what they were. When I was a kid growing up in Ellisville, there was actually along the woods, they generally grow on the front of the woods, kind of along the tree line, let's put it that way. And I kept wondering what they were, because I knew they weren't dogwoods, because there was people in the neighborhood. My grandmother, who lived across the street, had dogwoods. And these just, the flowers are not quite as big as a dogwood, and they just, the leaf didn't look the same or anything else. And I was kind of caught by surprise when I finally learned, you know, years later, exactly what they were. And speaking of trees, this, if you do happen to have any recently installed, let's say any kind of fruit trees, any kind of tree, really, you should wrap the trunk with either chicken wire or some hardware cloth. And what that does is prevent the rabbits from chewing, you know, the bark on the tree, because that can be some real major problems. And also, when you buy a tree, generally there's going to be a dot painted on the trunk, and that should be facing towards the south. And the reason why they do that is because they want you to orient that tree trunk to the same direction that it had been growing in the production nursery, because if you don't, there can be some sun scald or some frost cracking if you turn it the opposite direction. So just be real careful of that. Now, not every tree has that happen, but a lot of the newer, smaller trees can certainly have that happen. The gardening season is almost over when in relationship to certain chemicals and everything else. So if you have any leftover garden chemicals, just make sure that any of the dry stuff, the granular type stuff, you store and keep it in a location where it won't get any kind of moisture, any kind of dampness. And, I mean, that means even leaving it sit on, let's say, your garage floor, because that can create a moisture circumstance with just sitting on the floor of the garage as it, you know, warms up and cools down and warms up and cools down. And any of the liquid type stuff also prevent it from freezing. So a lot of times you can just leave it in an unheated garage and just make sure that it's up off the floor. And just also with any kind of landscape chemicals, keep them out of the reach of any of your pets and your children too. So if you're, it's just not necessarily they're going to be attracted to that type thing, but just to prevent it, just make sure that you kind of store everything away. If you do have any leftover seeds that you collected yourself, just store them in a cool, dry storage spot. So in other words, if you bought some extra packets of seed, that's great, that's fine, or just collected them off plants like, who knows, castor beans or something along that line, or hyacinth bean vine. Just make sure that they stay cool and dry. Don't put them in the freezer. Freezing seeds is not what you really want to do. So if you do have any questions, we've got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. This is a great time of year to have tree services come out and evaluate your trees, you know, for any kind of potential problems that you know exist, like overhanging branches over structures and things like that, or ones that you may not be able to recognize that a tree service can. So this is a good time of year to get the tree services out. Let's head over to Art's yard now. Hi, Art.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
That was a good promo for my question. I've got two questions, actually. The first one is regarding trimming trees. The second one is about using coffee grounds for mulch. So on the tree trimming subject, I've got some maples, a couple different varieties, and an oak tree that really need to probably be trimmed back because they're overhanging the house and a couple different issues. But I want to cut those limbs down in such a way that, you know, doesn't do damage to the tree. I've always heard that winter's the time to do it because tree sap goes to the roots, the limbs are lighter, and it does less damage to the tree. But then I've also read some things about, like, oak trees are a little different from maples, and you might have to cut them deeper into the winter. And I'm just wondering what you know about that, you know, regarding the different varieties, and when should I have a tree service come out to cut down these big limbs?
Basically, the oaks, you know, pruning oak is in wintertime. That's a good time to do it. The maples, beech, and birch trees, they prefer to be pruned in the summertime because there is less sap flow as a result of that. You can prune them in the winter, but it's better off for the overall health of the tree to do it in the summertime. So, I mean,
really? Okay, I didn't know that. I thought that, you know, the sap was the food storage for the tree, and it went to the root, and that's why you didn't want to do it in the summertime, because the sap would be all up. Okay, well, yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah, the sap is always in the tree. I mean, it's kind of like somebody's, you know, body. There's blood everywhere, always in the veins, just like, I mean, the trees have the same kind of circumstance, only rather than blood, they have sap, and it goes all the way to the, you know, to the tips of the branches. So if it...
Well, doesn't the sap flow down into the roots? I mean, I've always been told by tree guys that the tree limbs are a lot lighter if you cut them in the winter. Is that because of water moisture then that they're lighter? Or what?
Exactly, because they're more dormant. So that's basically the reason. And so it doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, the sap quality. So that's really what it is. They're asleep, so that's why they're, you know, they're more or less lighter.
Okay. Well, good to know. So in other words, I should do my oak tree. Now, what about when should I do the oak tree? Is it okay to do it now, or should I wait till January?
No, you can do it now. I mean, they're headed towards dormancy. There's no kind of active growth or anything else. And there's really not, you know, from a problematic standpoint, from diseases and things like that, that's going to be minimal in the wintertime for those guys. So, yeah, from this point forward until the new growth begins, so in other words, the leaves start emerging in the springtime, you can get it done anytime between now and then.
Okay, thank you. So my wife and I both drink coffee, and we had a friend who had a big garden, big organic garden, and we were always giving him our coffee grounds, and he had the best garden I ever saw in my life. He seemed to know which plants put coffee on and which ones not to. So I've been sprinkling our coffee grounds around front, around some of the woody bushes, because I'd heard that the woody bushes like the more acid nature of the soil, and that the coffee grounds were good organic material. And I'm just wondering if that's true, and I'm a little bit worried about maybe even overdoing it.
Well, unless you guys drink tens and thousands of cups of coffee per day, you're never going to have enough coffee grounds to really cause, you know, much of a problem. So it's more or less like a kind of a spice. It's like food that you put salt and pepper on. You don't put huge amounts on it because you don't want to have that much. And the trees and shrubs are kind of that same way. So it does, you know, change the soil pH a little bit, but it may not, you know, make that much difference. And it does have a, you know, granular quality, so it does help, you know, from that standpoint as well. So it will percolate down into the ground and help with the, you know, rainwater or irrigated water penetrating into the soil of surface. But beyond that, it doesn't really do too much. The things that really want a more acidic soil, you know, are ones like any kind of broadleaf evergreen, anything that has needles on it. But things like lilacs, they don't want that. So it just depends upon the individual shrub. And probably it's not going to make that much difference one way or the other because you're not adding that much.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's head over to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
Mike, my son has a house that has kind of a hedge in front of it of burning bush. And it's a recently purchased house, and the burning bushes are probably five and a half feet tall and kind of blocking the view of the house from the street and vice versa. And they'd like to shorten that hedge down. Is this the time of year to do that? And if not, when? And how far down can they cut that to improve the view without severely damaging the burning bush?
Well, as long as they just bought it, so they're going to be there for a while. So probably they're 5 feet high. I'd probably not try to cut them all the way down to make the view of what they want all at once. Because what you do when you cut off too much, you minimize or you reduce the number of leaves that are going to be on those, you know, burning bush or anything else that you happen to prune. And the leaves are what make food. And so consequently, when you reduce the amount of leaves, then the overall health of the shrub may be impacted by that. So I would say maybe, you know, 12 or 15 inches would be the most I'd cut off in the first year. See how they branch out the following, spring and everything else. And then maybe wait for another year and then maybe cut, some more 6 inches. So just tell them don't do it all at once because it could really cause some bad impact on the overall visual health of the shrubs. They may end up having to take them out entirely because they've kind of more or less killed them by reducing the amount of leaves they're going to be on the burning bush.
Okay. And what time of year would you do that pruning?
Anytime the foliage has already turned colors. Probably it's all fallen off. If it hasn't all fallen off yet, any time from kind of this point forward, so any from Thanksgiving all the way up until probably the 1st of March, maybe mid-March, get it done during that time period.
Okay, we'll proceed.
Right, great.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and I don't know how many there are or anything else, but hedge trimmer is fine. But if they want to be more patient, they can selectively just use a hand pruner or a lopper and cut individual branches off rather than just kind of shearing them off all at once.
I think this is probably about 15 feet of bushes.
Yeah, so that's going to be
linear.
Probably using a hedge trimmer. Just make sure. Yeah, make sure that tell them the blades should be sharp because if it's not, it's going to make, let's say, a ragged cut. And that causes potential problems from various factors.
Sure. Okay. I think that'll do it.
All right. Great. Thanks, Jim. And now let's head over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, my first comment is if you ever need a small apple tree pruned, I had a deer that came by and visited mine, cut it almost in, it was maybe 3 feet tall. And it's down to about 2 feet now and all the side branches. Is there anything I can do other than hope that it makes it?
Yeah, there's probably not too much that's going to make that much difference. You know,
okay.
I mean, repellents and all that other stuff. So it's... yeah, it's just one of those quirky things.
Yeah, and then the second thing is I found some persimmons deer hunting lately, and it looks like a spoon. So,
I'll
start that conversation again.
So you're gonna try to grow them?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yeah, I mean, just basically, I would just put them in pots with a potting mix. And just, sink the pot into the ground or into a bed space for the wintertime and just kind of see what happens.
That sounds really good. That's one of my regrets, being as old as I am, that I didn't plant a persimmon tree around. Of course, they're just wonderful to eat when they're frozen like they just were. So.
Right. They do have a great taste.
Yeah, thank you for your show and our show or who's ever show. And onward to a Merry Christmas and a hopefully fruitful year. Thank you.
Great. Well, thanks, Bill. Greatly appreciate it. Yeah, it's you know, growing things from seed, that's, you know, fantastic. And if you want to, you know, I saw that you're a 618, so you live in Illinois. If you ever make it by Eckerd's, you can see how the trees have been pruned as you just drive along to go, to, you know, get to the main, let's say, building, store, restaurants, and everything else. They're almost pruned to help with production and everything else like an upside-down umbrella. So really sweeping out. So this what the deer did certainly didn't help, and it's not going to create that. But in the future, for anybody that wants to do pruning and get good substantial amount of fruit off your trees, why not do what the professionals like Eckerd's do? And just, you know, drive over there and take a look at the trees. You're going to, not all of them are the same way, but there's many of them that are in the production areas that look like an umbrella upside down. You know, the stick of the umbrella is still on the, you know, not sticking up, but the branching goes out and sweeps in the, you know, out. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Still got a couple minutes. Let's head over to Jackson's yard. Hi, Jackson.
Hey, Mr. Miller, doing fine here. I've had my soil tested along with my Pencroft bent seed for growing, and I followed the instructions given by them, by the book. I've also tried divots from golf course fairways. I've tried to bring the divots back and cultivate them in my pot, flower pot. I haven't been successful. I gave up my club membership, country club membership, to help with the cost in this this endeavor, and it hasn't helped very much. I've invested in a Jacobson lawnmower to help cut the bent grass yard down to a quarter of an inch or less, and it hasn't helped. And I'm still trying to get a Pencroft bent grass lawn, which I haven't been successful with, Mike.
Basically, what you're trying to do is to grow something that really doesn't have good success here in the first place. So that's kind of, you know, what your real problem is. So even though you're using divots, you're using seed, you're using this, you're using that, it's just, you know, and you say, well, it's on golf courses. Some of it is, but it's not all of, you know, what you're thinking it is. So consequently, you're kind of, I don't want to say banging your head against the wall, but you're going against our crazy weather and everything else. And the golf courses, you know, they got their people there all the time, every day, doing what, you know, specifically what's needed. Constantly, you've done the soil test, you've done everything that you could, and that sort of indicates that you're just not going to have success. It may be just the nature. I see you're in Illinois because you have a 618 area code, but maybe the soil there is not good, even though you've had a soil test and everything else. There could be a lot of other factors beyond the weather and this, you know, the soil testing as far as the nutrients go, but you're just kind of going contrary to reality. Let's put it that way.
Okay, Mr. Miller, I've also was able to become a marshal on golf course, mainly to focus on the ground crew and the way the greens are kept. I was able to secure during the process of reconstructing a green the mediums that was used to produce this new green. I was able to get each one of those steps to bring it back to try to regrow it, and it was not successful either. I can't even get it to grow in a flower pot.
Well, I mean, it's still the you know, even though you've, let's say, had, you know, hands-on circumstance and everything else, It's just the setting or whatever else it happens to be for your particular yard is different than a golf course, and consequently, that's why you're not able to have success with this. There's no getting around it. I mean, you can keep doing it and doing it and doing it, but you're going to end up with the same results, whether it's in a pot or whether it's in the ground or anything else.
I'll keep trying, Mr. Miller, and when I do, I'll let you know the progress.
That sounds perfect. I'd be glad to hear it. But, I mean, it's a difficult circumstance. And also, I mean, mowing things, you know, like greens where they cut them so short, that's really, really difficult to grow a lawn that's short because basically the crown is so exposed to our crazy weather. But golf courses are able to do it with irrigation and everything else. But good luck with that. I admire your hardiness to go against reality, let's put it that way.
Okay, well, Mr. Miller, if they can grow a bent grass green in the middle of a lake, and they can grow it in the Dubai desert, and they can grow it in Phoenix, Arizona, and even Hawaii, I think I can make it go right here in the Midwest in the state of Illinois.
All right, sounds great. Good luck. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after the news.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, it's the tip of the trowel hour, and I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly, but right now you can give us a call at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with your ideas, questions, concerns, or comments. Mr. Kelly, how's your landscape doing?
It's doing pretty well. One of the interesting aspects right now is with our little ponds that I have built.
Right.
There's so many leaves in them and have been that it's turned into like maple tree tea.
Ooh.
Is what it looks like. So the one pump, I took off the little fancy sprayer, you know, that gives it the bit and left it with just a thick blob of water coming out because it'll help keep it from freezing more.
Right.
But it looks like I struck oil. Because the water is like just almost black.
You have fish in there?
No. Too shallow for that.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, because that could be toxic to the fish.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's in an area where there were several trees that we had just taken down. And so there are all kinds of roots in the ground. So it's really hard to dig it very deep.
Oh.
And I may try to deepen it here at some point over the next couple of months before spring really gets going again and kind of make it a little deeper. But no, it's pretty shallow. But it looks like oil. And I wish it was. But that's kind of, and then the birds, of course, we have a lot of finches right now. And like a lot of finches.
Right.
And they actually like the sunflowers probably more than the finch food, more
really?
Than the thistle. Yeah.
Oh, my
I have
goodness.
To fill those up more often. And we got some woodpeckers back. Sue saw a blue jay. So the winter birds are settling in now.
Right. Yeah. Robins are back and blue jays too.
Yeah.
And so in our neighborhood.
Are they?
And man, the blue jays always hang out together and they scream at each other constantly. It's like they tell everybody to get out of our way, and I guess they're talking to each other also.
Well,
it's really kind of wild.
And they say it like so that others overhear them. Even though they're not talking to them directly, they're overhearing them going, well, we better go to another feeder. Those are big, mean birds.
Well, great. Thanks, Brian.
You bet.
Yes, and thanks to you for having me on your show. We can discuss plant selection, caring for, ups and downs of your annuals. Surprisingly, I've seen quite a few pansies that are still looking good. And those bulbs, hopefully you've gotten all your spring flowering bulbs planted. If you haven't, you still got time to do it. Your edibles, that's a cool season vegetables. Ground covers, like cool season vegetables, like lettuce and stuff along that line. Your ground covers, your ground covers buried by all the leaves that have fallen from the trees. Your house plants, how are they looking now that they've been moved inside if they were outside for the summertime? Your lawn, cool season lawn versus warm season lawn. Oh boy, the cool season lawns really look good now. And the warm season, it doesn't look bad. It just happens to be tan because they're headed into dormancy. The perennials, the roses, tree shrubs, vines, or water gardens. I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take towards success. But strictly offered for you to consider. Alex is producing. He answers the phone, pushes all the buttons and everything else. So if you do call, he just needs to know your first name, and he'll put you on the computer screen, and that comes over to where I am standing. And during the week, I do landscape consultations, which I call a walk and talk. Also, if you'd like to give a gift certificate for a walk and talk, you can contact me going to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On my homepage, there's my email address and phone number. And I can come to your home, or if you'd like to give me as a gift, that's great. Tip of the Trial is a special recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me. It's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the Trial goes out to the bakery department at Eckert's, because that rhubarb pie is so fantastic. Also to the city street sweepers and the people that are, you know, raking leaves off the sidewalks, because they get so deep on the sidewalks, and a lot of the sidewalks are cracked due to tree roots and things like that. When you're walking through the leaves along the sidewalks, it is like, oh my goodness gracious. You could really trip, you know, stumble, and you could be injured pretty bad. And also a tip of the trowel goes out to Four Doors Down Bob. Three Doors Down Charlie. He's, you know, he usually does a lot of the leaf removal as far as blowing them back into the park. But Bob did it the other day. He spent an hour plus outside. But a special tip of the trowel goes out to an exhibit that's at the St. Louis Galleria Shopping Center. And or mall, I guess that's what it is. Beyond Van Gogh. I was totally caught by surprise by this thing. And initially, it starts off, you're reading the story of kind of his life and things along that line. But when you get into the part where there's all the videos and everything else going on, it is unbelievable. So if you do, if you think about it, even if you don't know who Van Gogh or don't care for that kind of art, this is, when you leave, you're just kind of like mind-boggled that somebody could come up with this concept. And it's just, I'll say it again, it's just kind of an unbelievable situation on what they've done. So Beyond Van Gogh, I think it's going to be here until January 30th, but it is absolutely fantastic. So if you want to see something really unusual, very unique, check that out. And I guess let's try to get a call in before we take a break. Let's go to Kathleen's yard. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. Well, after bringing in my outdoor plant, I have a carrion plant, that fleshy cactus plant, that I discovered needs, it looks like it needs repotting. It's been in the same pot for many, many years. It's root bound. I'm just wondering if this is a good time to repot it.
No.
Oh, okay.
The days are too short.
Okay.
You're better off to wait until the days start getting longer. So it will help them transition. And the pots you're going to get, you only want to get it about an inch bigger than the existing one. So don't put in a, you know, exceptionally large pot or anything. I was thinking you're going to make it so you never have to repot it again. You know, that's not the way to do it. So they really want to be pot bound. So you may not even have to do it, to be, you know, to be honest. But if you feel like you need to, don't do it now. Wait until the days start elongating, so when spring comes around.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That saves some time between now and Christmas.
Sure. And also,
thank you.
Yeah. And also make sure that you get a potting mix for cactus. It's specifically, you know, it's formulated for that, you know, that particular group of plants.
Yes. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Mike Miller, KMY's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Just remember, if you do have your houseplants inside, which if you don't have them inside by now and they're outside, they're probably dead. But anyway, the ones inside, when you're watering them, make sure that the water is at room temperature and not just cold tap water, because it may be okay, but it could do some damage to the root system of your houseplant. So cold water is not necessarily the best thing. It can shock the roots. So just warm it up a little bit, or just make sure it is at room temperature at least. Let's head over to Marie. Hi, Marie.
Hi, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I have a question. I was looking for this smoke tree, and the variety was Cotinus nordine. So anyway, I found it at this nursery. I ordered it, and when it arrived, it's really kind of dinky, like about 8 inches tall.
Ooh.
So I started thinking it might be too small for the spot I had selected for it, because the other bushes around it wouldn't give it enough sun. So I was thinking of putting it in a pot and maybe sitting it out there and letting it sit until it got a little bigger. So my question is, do you think that's a good way to go, and can I leave it in a pot for like 2 years?
Oh, I'm probably going to need to leave it in the pot longer than 2 years, but I'm just shocked that, an 8-inch, smoke tree, usually, so this must have been a mail order type thing, right?
Yeah, it was.
Right, so, usually if you go to the garden center, you're not going to find any that are even shorter than 3 feet would be the minimum. But anyway, you found it, you got it. Yeah, to grow it in a pot. Basically what you're doing is the same thing that nurseries are going to be doing. But if you can sink part of the pot, at least, several inches of it down into, in a hole, so it's just not sitting up on top of the ground, so the root system's not exposed. Either that or just leave it on top of the ground and pile a bunch of mulch around it so the all the way out almost to the top of the pot, and that should offer enough winter protection either way.
Okay, good. I need to try something for this. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Yeah, that's a little small, 8 inches, but when it's mail order, it's mail order, and that's kind of what has to happen. So thanks, Marie.
All right, bye.
And now let's head over to Terry's yard. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions about irises. I had an iris bed that was about 10 feet around, or 10 feet in diameter. And this year, late in the summer, all the foliage started to die and fell over. And I would pull the leaves out, and they would come out easily, and it appeared that they had rotted or had a fungus where they joined the rhizome. And this happened to all of them. And my question is, will the irises come back next year, or are they dead?
Pretty much they're probably dead. You might even have an insect called iris borer, and that can cause that problem too. So, that just doesn't sound good. What I would probably do is I'd go out and at least try to dig up some of the rhizomes and see how they feel, see what they look like, and just, shake all the soil off of them and kind of just bring them inside and put them in a paper bag and see what they look like when it's time to, let's say, plant, which is going to be, let's say, next late February, early March, and then see if there's any kind of new production coming up from the foliage of the existing ones you left outside, and then if not, see what happens by planting the ones that you brought in.
Would it be safe to plant more irises or healthy irises in the same bed?
Well, it may be, but it may not be, because you don't know exactly what the problem was. So, but for a whole, for a 10-foot in diameter area, for all of it to collapse, that's not really a good sign. There hasn't been a major change related to downspouts or water or anything else, has there?
No, and it was fairly well drained, but it was rather amazing that they just all of a sudden all fell over.
Right.
So, I can try doing that. I sprayed the whole bed with fungicide, and but it didn't stop the progress.
Right.
And so the other question is, I was trying to grow irises in like 14-inch pots, and I put them in pots, and I was going to winter them in the garage. I did this last year, and everything went fine. And late last year in the fall, I let them sit outside until the temperature dropped to the low 20s, but the foliage never died. And I read on the internet I should cut foliage back to about 4 inches from the rhizome. And so I did that, but it still never died, and it just kept growing, and it stayed green all winter. And then in the spring it grew more, but I never got any flowers. So should I leave the pots out till they've completely frozen, or is there anything I should do, or am I wasting my time trying to grow them in pots?
Now, was the rhizomes that you planted in the pots, were they from the existing iris that you have, or were they new rhizomes?
They were new. They were totally separate. They were on a deck, other side of the house, and they never showed any signs of this problem that the in-ground iris bed had. They were totally separate.
Right.
And they were new.
And maybe because just the rhizome didn't have enough, let's say, energy to be flowering the first year. So you may have to wait for a year or two before you're going to get flowers. But if you're getting good foliage, then the rhizome is healthy. And that's what's most important. So just because you get a rhizome doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get flowers off that rhizome that's a new one.
Okay, well, should I cut the foliage like right now? I leave them out, and I've left them out continuously, and I think the upper half inch is frozen, just like last year. But the foliage still looks good. Should I cut it back to the rhizome, or what should I do?
No, you don't need to cut it that low. If you want to cut it back to, you know, maybe 2 inches or 2.5 or 3 inches, that's fine. But you don't need to cut it any lower than that.
Okay.
And if it stays green or starts pushing out new growth, it's because you've moved in the garage and the temperature actually is what triggers, you know, the same temperature if it was outside in the springtime as if what it is in the garage right now.
Okay. And I also wanted to say thank you. I called last year because my Mexican petunias, which are in pots, wouldn't bloom. And you said, well, they're in pots. You need to fertilize them whenever you watered them. So I fertilized them heavily, and they bloomed like crazy. You were right on. So thank you.
Great. My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks, Terry. And now let's head over to Scott's yard. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have some green giant arborvitaes that I planted in mid-October, and they looked like they were doing pretty well, and all of a sudden, I'm starting to get some browning on the tips of the, I guess you don't call them leaves, but the branches.
Yeah, the needles or whatever.
Yeah. Any suggestion on what that could be, or?
Basically, probably what it is there just, you know, wasn't enough moisture at that time, because I don't know when the last time we had measurable rain has been, and that could be a result of, let's say, lack of moisture and the way our weather's been, the winds and everything else. So it's probably just more environmental than anything else.
Okay. So you think they have a chance?
Well, those tips are, I mean, they're going to be brown until, you know, some growth grows past that. So just realize that, you know, that's kind of what the situation or the circumstance is.
Okay. And do those normally go dormant in the winter, or do they get any growth in the winter?
No, they're not going to get any growth. Nothing really pushes out growth in the wintertime. I mean, no conifer, no broadleaf evergreen, no deciduous tree, nothing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure.
Okay.
Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, again. Wow. I can't believe so many plants are still holding on to the foliage. And other ones are totally naked. And it's the same varieties, just exposure. That shows that one yard is going to be different than another yard because of exposure, because of winds and rains and everything else. So just realize that if your plants are doing this and the neighbor's plants, even though it's not that far away, are not doing that, it's just, you know, the circumstance as well as the soil, of course. Let's head over to Kyle's yard. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I've got some raspberry bushes that I planted this year in pots, large pots, like 30-inch diameter, about 2 feet tall. And they grew really well. I planted them around May or June. And so I'm just wondering what I should do with them to over the winter.
Basically, put some mulch over, you know, on top of the pot, you know, just a couple inches or so. And you can probably go ahead and cut the canes down to about, maybe 8 to 10 to 12 inches or something like that. And that's all I would do.
And it's not too late to cut those back?
No.
Okay.
And if we have, again, extended periods where we're not having any rainfall, it certainly wouldn't hurt to take a bucket of water out there and, you know, water the pots.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Sure, my pleasure. Right. And let's go head over to Letty's. Letty, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Mike?
Very good.
Hey, I want to know, I made the mistake of, I went ahead and cut my mums down to the ground, and now they're coming back a little bit green. Is it going to hurt if I put mulch over them?
You probably don't need to, but you can. I'd probably, my tendency would be put mulch around them, but where the stems are, or if you're seeing little green leaflets, don't bury those.
Oh, okay. Don't cover that up.
No.
Okay. That's what I want to know. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
In the future, definitely anything that blooms in the fall, you should always leave any kind of foliage or anything else over the wintertime. It just helps protect the crown. So.
Yeah, I know, and I forgot. I went and pruned him one day. It looked dead. So, okay, I'll try to remember.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, life is difficult. I mean, it's hard to remember everything, whether it's, you know, something in the yard or any other place. We have so many different responsibilities. It's absolutely unbelievable. And as far as mulch goes, too, your broadleaf evergreens, the root system, you don't pile it up on the stems or anything else of your azaleas or your hollies or anything else. Just put, a mulch 3 or 4 inches around the base of the plant. Don't pile it up through the center. There's multiple stems or twigs coming up out of the ground. Let's head over now to Max's yard. Hi, Max.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
I'm calling you from Destin, Florida.
Whoa.
So I may be a little bit out of your normal territory, but I have some milkweed blood plants that we mistakenly purchased, and now we found they bring in so many monarch butterflies that we absolutely love them. I was wondering if you have any other type of plants that you would recommend to pull in more butterflies.
Well, there's actually, as far as where you are and everything else, I would say just look at, you know, go online and just look at, if you're trying to bring in the monarchs only, my tendency would be just do more of the same plant. So in other words, just create a large colony of it, because apparently the weather's not bad enough to cause, you know, the plant material to go downhill, bad meaning really nice weather. And so my tendency would be that rather than trying to experiment around with something else.
Yeah, they do tend to grow long. And last year we trimmed them off, and then after doing some reading, we discovered that's where they will put their eggs sometimes, so we shouldn't trim.
Right.
And not sure what to do. So we tried to plant some butterfly bushes, but they basically said no to the sandy soil.
Right. That, you know, that's exactly, even though they really, you know, here they want to have a really well-drained soil because of the grayish foliage. That's a good indicator of, you know, plants that need well-drained soil. But I, you know, that's why I didn't want to recommend something else, because it's just a kind of a roll of the dice. But if you've had great success with this, and if they elongate, you know, what you can do is get things like tomato cages and things like that and put them around, you know, put them around so that will hold the stems up so they don't
fall. Great idea. Thank you. I'm glad Odyssey's around, because now I can listen to you again.
Well, great. Sounds perfect. Thanks, Max.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yep. And now let's head over to Dee Dee's. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to know about my roses, if I should trim them down now, and should I put mulch around them, and can I, and also about the pansies, can I keep pansies all winter?
chance of the pansies surviving the wintertime is pretty minimal. You know, unless we really, unless global change is really here, and but usually they're not going to survive our winter times entirely. And if they look good, just enjoy them as long as you possibly can. And your roses, you're not talking shrub roses, are you?
No.
Okay, so like hybrid teas, grandifloras, floribundas.
I have one hybrid teas, and the others are regular roses.
Okay, so basically what you want to do is this is the time of year, you know, after Thanksgiving when you want to cut them back, you want to cut the stems back to about, 12 to 15 inches in about, and put about around six or eight inches of mulch over the, over where the stems are, the crown.
Okay. Oh, not on the top.
You can bury them, yes. I mean, it can go over the top. You know, so you want to make sure that they're pretty much covered entirely. And then in the springtime, you're going to pull that mulch back away from the plants.
What about my climbing rose?
How big is it?
A yard.
Oh, so it's still pretty young. So you could cut that one back, you know, if you wanted to, or you don't need to. The climbers don't necessarily need to be pruned, but the other ones do.
12 inches.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, 12 to 14, 16 inches. So that works out, perfectly. So if you do have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. If you, other than the, let's say, as I keep saying, the fall bloomer perennials like asters and mums and things like that, you don't cut those back at all. But all the other perennials, when you start getting this sort of like floppy debris, you want to get rid of that because it could be harboring insect problems as far as eggs go. It could be harboring all kinds of things, disease-wise and everything else. So you want to cut it and get rid of it. So just don't just cut it and let it drop right in that same place. That's not the best thing for them. If you do happen to have geraniums, you can bring geraniums in by pulling them up and just, kind of shaking all the soil or potting mix if they were in pots and just like bring them inside, put them in a paper bag for the wintertime. Or also, you can actually just grow the geraniums just so they get, a nice, let's say, best light possible. And they may even bloom inside. They may not. But all you want to do is just kind of keep them nice and great. And they're ones that during the wintertime, you don't want to water them very much at all. Anything that really, and this is true for the most part, year-round, anything with big, thick stems like geraniums have, that sort of indicates that they need less water than some of the other plant material. But you can overwinter geraniums pretty easily. As I said, get rid of all that debris. And when you're hopefully your spring flowering bulbs, you've already got them planted, but you better make sure that you get them planted before the ground freezes. That's really important. Mulching over the root system of the broadleaf evergreens is best like for hollies and, like I said, roses and things along that line. Shredded bark mulch, pine needles are really good examples of things to use. Keep an eye out for the moles and voles because they're going to start to become more active, because they get a little desperate before they start going, let's say, into hibernation. So don't fertilize anything this time of year, not at all, except if you want to do some deep root feeding on trees, you're fertilizing with compost. So really what you're doing is you're feeding the tree, the soil the tree's root system is growing in. You're not directly feeding the tree, but don't do any kind of fertilizing of any type at all. So, and as I said, just told the lady 6 or 8 inches of mulch over the roses, and that's over the crown, the graft, or whatever it happens to be. But to make sure that you get those spring flowering bulbs planted, and also any of the summer bulbs that you happen to have, never hurts to go out and check them regardless of where you have them in the garage or anything else. And just kind of touch them lightly and see if they've started to shrivel, if they're getting too dry, if they're like smelling. Like you go, ooh, this really smells moldy. So any kind of damaged stuff, get it out of there because it can impact all the ones that are, in good shape still. So just be conscious of that kind of thing. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We got phone lines open.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, if you do happen to be growing strawberries, this is the time of year when you want to mulch your strawberries. With a layer of straw, that what that does is prevent damage to the crown, and that's where the root system of the strawberry or any plant, the root system and the stems, the above-ground growth with the leaves, you know, meet. So you don't want a whole lot of a whole lot of straw over them. So you just want enough so you can kind of slightly periodically see the strawberry plants. So you're just putting a really light layer over the top. So don't bury them or anything else because it can create a situation that holds too much moisture. So just a light layer of straw all over your strawberry plants, and that should help and make them a lot better production for you next year. Let's go over to Jerry's yard now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I have a bed of irises, the bulbs. They've been in there a long time. They don't bloom as much as they used to. I was planning on digging them up and separating them. Would that help them for blooming?
Basically not. You know, what happens is with the iris, even though you've had them for a long time and everything else, they just get old. And they'll still produce, you know, the leaves, but they're not going to be able to, or they just don't produce the flowers after a while.
Okay. Okay. So I guess I'll dig them up and they won't. Yeah, I'll just let them go.
I mean, you could try, you know, try the divisions and everything else, and especially, you know, if you've got, you know, certain areas or clumps that for a couple of years have not, you know, done any flowering, you could try dividing, but I don't think it's going to make that much difference.
Okay. Well, thanks for the help.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's head over to Jennifer's yard. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Mike. I have a question about, I cut back my peony bushes in October, but I haven't gotten to the rest. I have it's like over 4 foot tall hibiscus, and it still has all the seed pods on it. And the last couple years, I have not cut it at all through the winter, and it just comes back more beautiful every year. I'm wondering now if I should cut it back some for this winter. What you think?
Are these like the disco bell, the hibiscus with the big round, you know, flowers?
Yes, the big pink flowers.
Yeah. Cutting them back, they're strictly a perennial plant, so you don't necessarily have to do it because those stems are not going to be producing, you know, any kind of growth next year. So it's all going to come up from the root system. So it's really an aesthetic call more so than anything else.
And do I just leave all the pods on it?
Yeah, you can. I mean, those are, in theory, you know, hold seeds, and some of the seeds may germinate, but the chances of that, especially if the area is mulched, then the seeds are going to just drop in the mulch, and then they're not going to germinate for sure.
Okay. And then I have some hydrangea bushes.
Uh-huh.
Is it too late to cut those? Should I leave those alone?
What type of hydrangea are they?
Oh, I don't know.
When do they bloom?
In the spring and summer.
So basically, if they bloom in the, you know, spring, if you cut them back now, the chances of cutting the flower buds off for next year is pretty good. In other words, you might be eliminating the flowers if they're spring bloomers. So you're better off with those particular ones. You can cut the spent flower heads off for sure, but don't cut anything beyond, let's say, a quarter or a half inch below the spent flowers if they're still there, and just leave them alone.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Have a good holiday.
Sure. My pleasure. And we do have a couple minutes if you've got a quick question. And if not, I'm going to go back through you're getting your soil tested. This is a perfect time of year to get your soil tested to find out what you may be lacking or what you may be having an abundance of. Because a lot of, you know, if you've been really loyal, fertilizing and everything else forever, but certain chemicals, certain parts of fertilizers stay in the soil for a long period of time. Phosphorus and potassium are two of those. And what has been found over the years with the soil testing is people that have, let's say, put down triple 12, year after year after year after year. And what happens is the phosphorus and potassium stays there, and that starts having an adverse impact on, guess what, the root system of your plants. So you got to be really careful of that. And what you can do is, don't know how to take a soil test or anything else, well, you can go to the University of Missouri Extension Service, and it will tell you exactly how to take a soil. But so a soil sample to have it tested. And what you want to do is take a separate soil test for, let's say, the lawn area, and a separate soil test for the vegetable garden area, and a separate soil test for the perennial garden area. So you don't want to blend them all together, because each one is going to have a somewhat of a different circumstance on what it needs. And where you can drop off your soil sample once you take it, there's a University of Missouri has an extension service in St. Louis County in Kirkwood on East Monroe. Also in the city of St. Louis, Brightside St. Louis on Shenandoah or Gateway Greening on Washington Avenue, you can drop off the soil samples there. So it's really important. For lawns, you want the sample to go, you want to take a sample 3 to 4 inches deep. And for other types of bed spaces like vegetable gardens and everything else, you want to go a little bit deeper. So 3 to 4 inches for lawn areas, but like up to, you know, like at 6 inches deep for perennials and things like that. And just don't put a big clod in there. You want to make sure that you break up the clods, and you want to have them air dried. So just don't dig them up and put them right into a plastic bag or something. You want to air dry it a little bit. And ultimately, you want to have about a cup. I mean, you want to have about a pint of soil to get soil tested. So that is about 2 cups. So a regular sandwich bag, Ziploc, is sufficient for it. And you can take it to those locations, as I just mentioned. So Brightside St. Louis and Gateway Greening in the city, and then the University of Missouri Extension Service on East Monroe. And all these places, they don't do the testing right there. What they do is they send the samples down to Columbia, to the agriculture department, and all the testing is done there. That's what's really, really very, very important. There's also other places, too, that private labs that do soil testing, and there's all over the place. There's some in in Bowling Green. There's some in Athens, Illinois. There's some in Belleville. There's some on, really be smart with this whole thing, because we can spend so much time and so much energy. And if our soil is not exactly what it should be or not as good as it possibly could be, if you could just be spending a lot of time, mental time and real time, and just the end results could not be as, you know, what you really want. So it's just a soil test is an excellent gauge of soil fertility. And it is inexpensive. Now, they are $25 for the test. So if you take 3 different samples, that's going to be $75. But when you think about the amount of time and effort and money that you've spent, that's not really all that much. But the end result, you're going to be very, very happy with it. So just, and everybody, I want to say, hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving. And everything else, as we head through this crazy holiday season, just take time to take a breath and just enjoy the outdoors, because the outdoors, to me, you can't beat it. So, Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back next week.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase 1 of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.